The title of my message today is Forgiveness, It's the Right Thing to Do. So how'd you come up with that title? Well, I was thinking about little Isaiah Lennington. And when we were up at kids camp this summer up in Blowing Rock, this old dog came up. We were walking to the dining hall, and this old dog came up. I was leading my little flock of boys up to the dining hall, and this dog came up, and they were playing with the dog, and they said, "Hey, you know, it's lost, you know." And hey, and they saw it had a, you know, it had a collar and it had a thing on it with a phone number. And he said, "Hey, we need to call. We need." And I think the dog just hangs around up there, you know, part of the time. We're trying to get them to come on. Let's go to, you know, let's go to the dining hall. And he said, "It's got a phone number. We should call." He looked up at me with those big brown eyes, and he said, "It would be the right thing to do." "Well, what are you going to do after that?" I said, all right, I pulled my phone out. And I had no argument after that. Those looking up at me with those brown eyes, it would be the right thing to do. So we called, and it was a number for some restaurant. So they said, "If you're looking," it had closed. And they said, "If you're looking for another restaurant like this, you might try." And I said, "Okay, guys, we tried. We did our part." So. Don't know what that first they wanted to bring the dog home, of course, with the, you know, let's load the dog up in the van and drive it, you know, 5 hours and bring it home. But, hallelujah. But forgiveness, it's the right thing to do. Amen? Amen. Luke 17, I'm still not there. You're there, but I'll get there in a moment. Luke 17, verse 3. Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves." To who?
Yourself.
To yourself. "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." So a lot of people, when they heard Jesus, or people reading the Bible, and they read this first part where Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, rebuke him," you think, "Oh, good. I get to really tell those people, you know, tell them off and tell them what they did." And so Jesus said, "Yeah, go ahead. And if he sins against you, go let him know, rebuke him. And if he says, 'Man, I'm really sorry, I repent,' then forgive him. And then if he comes to you seven times in a day, he says, you shall forgive him." So he said, "All right, if you want to hold on to the rebuking part, that's fine. But just be willing to, if he keeps messing up seven times a day, then you got to forgive him."
Amen.
All right. And then the next verse, verse 5, "And the apostles said to the Lord," and their response to that was, "Increase our faith." How many of you know it takes faith to forgive? I think the point Jesus was making is don't focus so much on the rebuking part, focus on the forgiving part.
Amen.
He said, Jesus is saying, "Yeah, I'll allow you to rebuke him, but then you have to forgive him, even if he comes back to you seven times in a day." Now, we can't really call ourselves followers of Jesus or really follow him successfully and live by his word without continually, daily practicing forgiveness. So it's such an important thing. And I think it's important here at the beginning of the year to talk about this. Let's look at Matthew 18. Matthew 18. You know, each of the Gospels are like parallel accounts of what Jesus did. So if you're reading through the Bible, then you're going to read Matthew 18 before Luke 17. But I think Luke 17, what was written there, happened before Matthew 18. And I'll tell you why as we read this. Verse 21. "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?'" So Peter's smiling. He said, "Remember, Jesus, I was listening when you talked about forgiving. I was listening. I heard you. You said seven times. Is that right, Lord? You know, I want you to know I'm listening to you. And if he sins against me, then I'm going to forgive up to seven times." Look at what Jesus' response to that was. You know what he said. Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." I think what Jesus was saying, the point is not, okay, that's one, that's two. He says, okay, you want, let's expand that, okay? Jesus was talking generally, if it comes as many as seven times. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you just need to always forgive. Amen. You know, okay, I've done it 490 times. Next time you do that to me, then I don't have to forgive. I'm going to whop you and stay mad at you. No, if another disciple after this had come up to Jesus and said, Jesus, how often, if my brother sins against me, how often shall I forgive him? Up to 490 times? You know what Jesus would have said? I say unto you, not 490 times, but 490 times 4,900. To follow that ratio. Well, the point is, we have to always forgive. It's an ongoing thing. It's a continual thing. Amen? You don't reach the limit of forgiveness. Hello. Amen? Now, let's keep reading here. Jesus gives Peter and gives us then a parable. He says, verse 23, that therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That was millions of dollars. If you translate into our currency, that's millions of dollars. But he was not able to pay. His master, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Wouldn't that be great if you owed millions of dollars and you got a letter in the mail saying you don't owe this money anymore? Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah. It'd be even more significant that if you'd received a first letter that said you've been sold, you and your children and your wife, and you're now slaves, and you're going to work this off, then to start on that and then write a letter back saying, please have patience and have mercy on me, and to get another letter back saying, okay, all is forgiven. That's what happened to this guy. So this man is forgiven. This man is released. Verse 28, but that servant went out, the one that just had been forgiven. Verse 28, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Compared to 10,000 talents, 100 denarii is nothing. Very insignificant. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. I've always wondered how that works. Anyway, how are you going to make money in prison to pay the debt back? You know, you see, and through the years, I've been to court with some of you folks. I don't know if any of you out here right now, but church members through the years, and you have to sit there all day waiting for their case to be called, and you hear all these cases, and you know these guys, especially the drug cases, you know, and you hear the sentence that's been given and the fines and the fees, and I'm thinking, okay, the only way that I know this guy is going to be able to pay his fee, his fine, and pay his probation officer every month is to go out and sell drugs. It's a trap. Oh, wow. I mean, you know, you're ordered to pay, you know, $1,000 a month. And like, where are these guys going to get $1,000 a month to pay this? So anyway, he threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. Verse 31, I got to move here. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So the point, again, remember the context. Why did Jesus share this? It was he shared this in response to a question that was asked, how often should I forgive my brother? And the point Jesus is making is this, you and I have been forgiven a tremendous debt. Our offenses against God were tremendous. Yes. Our account against God, there's no way we could repay it for the sins and the wrongdoing that each of us have committed. We're all guilty before God. But God, through Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, decided to have mercy on us. Amen. Decided to cancel the debt. Decided to say, hey, you don't owe me a thing. Go free. And how wrong is it for us then, having been set free from that, when someone wrongs us or sins against us, to hold their sin against them, to hold unforgiveness against them, and not respond in kind to the way that we've been treated? That's the point Jesus was making in all of this. Amen? Now, some important things here to see. He says in verse 35, Jesus said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So forgiveness can't be half-hearted. Forgiveness can't be, all right, I'll forgive you. Forgiveness has to be from the heart. It has to be genuine or it's not forgiveness at all. Amen? It can't just be words. Okay, I forgive you. And then still treat them like trash. Hello? Amen. Amen. Now, forgiveness has to be from the heart. The Message Bible says it this way, if each of you does not forgive his brother unconditionally, he says, does not forgive unconditionally. We have to forgive unconditionally. Don't quit on me now. The Amplified Bible says, freely forgive your brother from your heart. Freely forgive your brother from your heart. But let's take a moment in this. Before we get any further into the scripture, let's talk about briefly what forgiveness is and what it's not. Because a lot of people get confused and start talking about, and this is a challenging word. You're telling me that I need to forgive this person, but you don't know what they did. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know the terrible thing that's been perpetrated against me. And you're telling me to forgive? Well, the Bible is. Jesus is. But some people get confused about that because they don't know what forgiveness is or what it's not. Sometimes the best way to find out what something is to first find out what it's not. So let's look at that. And I'm borrowing from R.T. Kendall. I think we offered his book a while back. You can get it on Kindle.
Oh yeah, really?
You can get Kindle on Kindle. Except his name is K-E-N-D-A-L-L. R.T. Kendall, he has a book that's written, it's wonderful, it's called Total Forgiveness. Did we offer that as the book of the month a couple years ago? I think maybe we did. I recommend it highly, but this is what he says in his book, what forgiveness is not. Number one, forgiveness is not approval of what they did. When you forgive a person, you're not saying, I approve of what you did. Neither is it excusing what they did. Neither is it justifying what they did. It doesn't justify the action, the fact that you forgive. And number four, it's not pardoning legally what they did. If someone is committed, especially if someone's committed a crime against you, you know, if someone's been raped, if a person's been raped, should they forgive the rapist? Yes. Should that rapist then, should they say, oh, well, I'm not going to press charges? No. Society needs to be protected from that person. Right? Amen. Number five, forgiveness is not denying what the person did to you. Forgiveness is not denial. Because, you know, sometimes people use repression to push away, especially if something terrible has been perpetrated against them, and they repress that and push it down. But eventually that's going to affect that person horribly. And it's going to come out in different ways. So forgiveness is not denying what's been done. Forgiveness is not pretending that we're not hurt. Oh, well, it's all right. It doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does matter. You were hurt. You know, that was perpetrated against you. Yes, it does matter. So that's not, forgiveness is not any of that. Amen? Let's talk about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, number one, being aware of what someone has done and still forgiving them. Number two, forgiveness is choosing to keep no record of wrongs. Number three, forgiveness, as we said in the second one, it's choosing to keep no record of wrongs. Number three, forgiveness is a choice. It is not a feeling, at least not at first, but rather an act of the will. Amen. Forgiveness, number four, is refusing to punish. When I forgive someone, that means I refuse to, I'm not going to punish them by what they did, either by treating them coldly. Okay, I forgive you, but I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's punishing. Hello? Forgiveness is refusing to punish. Number five, forgiveness is not telling what they did. Well, yes, I forgive you. Brother Carl, let me tell you what so-and-so did to me. Now, I forgave them, but it was awful. I can't believe anybody treated me that way. And I know you know them. I'm just telling you, watch out for them. Forgiveness is not telling what they did. If you forgive someone, you're not going to go gossip. Now, there may be an occasion where it would be healthy for you to speak to a pastor, to speak to someone and say, this really was difficult. But you need to choose that one person that you know is not going to go and air stuff. If that's necessary, that's not always necessary. But if it would be, that'd be the environment in which you would do that. You don't go gossiping about how someone did you wrong. You've not forgiven them. Oh, well, I forgive them, but let me tell you what they did. No, that's not true forgiveness. Hello? Right. Amen.
Amen.
Now, number six, it is an inner condition. Forgiveness is an inner condition. It's from our heart. Amen? Amen? This is what Kendall says on all these. Number seven, it is the absence of bitterness. Forgiveness is the absence of bitterness. Then number eight, eighth element in this is, and again, this is total forgiveness. The name of the book is Total Forgiveness. So total forgiveness also includes forgiving God. So what do you mean forgiving God? See, some of us might need to forgive God. We might think, God, how could you let that happen? Well, you need to forgive God. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Sure. Anybody ever been mad at God before? Come on, you liars. Raise your hand. Huh? I have.
I have too. Amen.
Amen? What do we do? Has God done us wrong? Of course not. Is God always good to us? Yes. Do you always look at the situation and think it's fair? No. You may have to forgive God. God, I know I can trust you. I know you're good, and I forgive you. Now, he's not sinned, obviously, but for our sake, we need to go through that process. Amen? And then finally, you got to forgive yourself. Amen. See, that's where a lot of people stumble, is they're willing to forgive other people, but they can't forgive themselves. They keep punishing themselves. Forgive yourself. Receive God's, know that God's forgiven you. And walk in that. Forgive yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That's total forgiveness. I recommend you read the whole book. Let's talk about, I want to share in the rest of this message, 10 reasons to forgive. 10 reasons to forgive. Reason number one, it heals and restores the relationship. That's, to me, that's the best reason to forgive. Because it begins the process, forgiveness begins the process of healing and restoring the relationship. And that's what's most important. That's what the devil tries to attack and tries to divide that relationship. Forgiveness heals and restores the relationship. I want us to look at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. This is the hallmark, prime example story of forgiveness in the Bible, isn't it? And think about this. Think about this. This is Old Testament. This is before that people had the capacity to have the nature of God in them. Joseph was a follower of the true God. Joseph believed in God and followed God. But he didn't have what you've got today. Amen. Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Yes. Joseph didn't have access to that. And yet this is an awesome, incredible story of forgiveness. And if you, I'm sure you know the story, but how Joseph was, his brothers were jealous of him because he seemed to be a favorite son of their father. And they were so jealous of him, so consumed with jealousy, that they were going to kill him. But one of the brothers said, no, let's don't kill him. He had a little more compassion. He couldn't see killing him. He said, let's sell him, and then we'll tell our father that a wild animal, a wild beast has killed him. And so they threw him in a pit, and they sold him as a slave. And he was bought by some Midianite traders and was taken to Egypt. And was bought from these traders by a man named Potiphar, who was a wealthy businessman in Egypt. And Joseph began to work for Potiphar. And so his brothers had done this evil to him. He goes to work for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him of raping her. And so the tables were right the other side. She desired him, and he said, no, I can't do this wickedness and sin against God. And so then she falsely accused him. And of course, Potiphar believed his wife and not Joseph. He was thrown into prison. So he had to forgive those. He had those people that he had an opportunity to forgive. And so finally, Joseph, because he kept his heart right and because he forgave, God promoted him. God exalted him and put him in second in command in the nation of Egypt, only under Pharaoh. Yes. And Joseph was in charge of the program to see the nation through the famine. God had given him a dream and a revelation that there would be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine that would consume all the abundance. And so sure enough, Joseph was put in charge of that. And sure enough, it happened just like Joseph said, just like God showed him. The 7 years of abundance, the Egyptians were wise because of Joseph's leadership, and they stored up the grain. And here are the people from around that area, that region, were coming to Egypt to buy grain. They heard there was grain in Egypt. And so Joseph's brothers came out of the land of Canaan into Egypt to buy grain. And Joseph saw them. And after all these years, Joseph recognized them. But they didn't recognize him. And so he, you know the story, how he went back and forth with them for a while, and he made sure that he got everybody there. And then he said, you know, hey, I want you guys to come over to the house for dinner. And so he got them all there, and they're sitting at the table. Verse 45 of Genesis, or chapter 45, verse 1 of the book of Genesis. It says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Think about how they must, I mean, they're in absolute shock. Their mouths are hanging open. They're speechless. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. You know, forgiveness, Kendall says this, that forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Now, the Bible, you know, we hear the term forgive and forget, and that God does not remember our sins, but he chooses. Yes. It's not that he can't remember them. You know, you will probably not forget what has happened to you or the bad that's been perpetrated, injustice has been perpetrated against you, but you can choose to live above it. Joseph remembered they had sold him as a slave. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And so it says, he says, I'm your brother. I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Look at verse 5 now. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Wow. Verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. So Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, and he had forgiven them already. Hadn't he? I mean, he didn't come this opportunity. It wasn't like when they came, it wasn't like that hurt came back. When he saw them, he was like, it's my brothers. He had already forgiven them. And he was able to see the purpose and working of God. So forgiveness, number one, it heals and it restores the relationship. Amen? It begins that process. And that's the most important. That's foremost, that relationship be healed. That relationship be restored. Hallelujah. Joseph's relationship with his brothers began to be healed. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Because Joseph chose to forgive. And then number two, 10 reasons why we should forgive. Number two, it enables us to see God at work in our situation.
Amen.
Joseph said, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. Joseph was able to say, hey, you know, God was at work in all of this. God's purpose was being worked out. Amen. It enables us to see God at work in our situation, and it causes us to rise above any plan or scheme of the enemy to thwart God's plan for our lives. God had a plan for Joseph. The devil tried to thwart that plan through the action taken by his brothers, but because Joseph chose to forgive, he rose above that. And when you and I choose to forgive, we'll rise above. Amen. We'll rise above any scheme, any plan. The devil can't keep you down.
Amen.
The devil can't. He said, well, I'd like to serve God, but these people did this to me and they did that to me, and it's keeping me from serving God. It's keeping me from doing what God's called me. No, it's not. No man can stop you.
Amen.
No devil can stop you.
Amen.
If you make up your mind, you're going to serve God. You're going to walk with God.
That's right.
You'll just keep rising above. Amen? Praise God. Look with me at chapter 50 of Genesis. Joseph's brothers really had a hard time accepting that Joseph could forgive them like this. And they thought that he was just doing it and just telling them this because for the sake of their father, Jacob. Jacob was still alive when all of this happened. And they brought Jacob down to Egypt, and he got to see Joseph. And Joseph's sons, well, that's a whole other story. That's wonderful what he named his sons. You can study that out. But finally Jacob died. In verse 15, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. So he'd already done it.
Yes.
And Jacob didn't even say this. They said, well, we got to make up something. And when Joseph heard this, look at his response. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He wept. He wept out of the fact that, guys, don't you know my heart? Don't you know I've already forgiven you? But he wasn't angry with them. Why? Because forgiveness keeps your heart tender. That's the third reason. Third reason to forgive is because forgiveness will keep your heart tender. Don't you want to have a tender heart before God? And before people, Joseph wept when his brothers came to him because they were uncertain of his goodwill toward them. And then number four, forgiveness keeps your perspective straight. Number four, forgiveness keeps your perspective straight. Look at let's read on here. Verse 18. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. And you know what that was? That was Joseph's dream being fulfilled that got him in trouble to begin with.
Right.
He said, you know, I had a dream. Before all this ever happened, what started all this when Joseph was a teenager, He said, you know, I had a dream and I saw you guys coming and bowing down to me. Yeah. Well, here it is coming to pass. Yeah. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? You know, when we hold unforgiveness against people, you know what we're doing? We're putting ourselves in the place of God. We're putting ourselves, now get this, we're putting ourselves, there's many dimensions to the character of God. There's the mercy, there's the forgiveness, there's the grace dimension to God. But then there's the judgment side of God as well. Amen. That we need to recognize and understand. Amen.
Amen.
There's a judgment side to God. And so Joseph said, am I in the place of God? What was he thinking? He was thinking about the judgment side of God. He said, you know, I don't have the right, I don't have the authority, like President Obama said during the debates in 2008 when they asked him about abortion, when does life begin? He said, that's above my pay grade to answer that question, to dodge the question. Yeah. It's above our pay grade to be in the place of the judgment side of God.
Amen.
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 It's above our pay grade to say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Joseph said, if I don't forgive you, then I'm putting myself in the place of God, and there is a God, and I'm not Him. It keeps your perspective straight. You're not God. Aren't we all glad? Hallelujah. That's dangerous ground to assume the place of God. Just ask Satan. He tried to do it one time, didn't he? I will exalt my throne. No, you won't. Psh, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When we truly forgive others, we won't simply tolerate them. We'll genuinely want to bless them and do them good. Get that? When we truly forgive others, we won't simply, okay, I forgive you, just stay away from me now. When we truly forgive others, we won't simply tolerate them. We will genuinely want to bless them and do good to them. Look at what Joseph said here. Verse 19 again. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Verse 21. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. That's true forgiveness. That's true forgiveness. When you don't simply tolerate the person you've forgiven, but you genuinely want to bless them and do them good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. So the disciples, you know, when Jesus said, forgive, forgive your brother seven times in a day, and their next response was increase our faith, because it takes faith to forgive. Also, I'm thinking maybe they wanted to change the subject. Because when you start talking about forgiveness, well, let's talk about something else. We don't want to talk about that. But faith and forgiveness go together, don't they? Jesus said they did in Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye will have them. Next word is and. And. So what he's about to say is connected to what he just got through saying. And is a connecting word. I believe they call it a conjunction. Is that right? All right. Which means it is connected to, it's connecting what he just got through saying with what he's about to say. All right. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone. So he doesn't qualify it. He doesn't say, well, now, if it's a small thing and it's this type of person. No, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. So, well, I'll work through that. No, he said, when you stand praying, how long are you going to stand there? When you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Wow. So reason number five Forgive so that your faith will work. That's the fifth reason to forgive. Forgive so your faith will work. How many want your faith to work? How many of you know you need your faith to work?
Yes.
We walk by faith. Amen? We live by faith. We need our faith working. Well, you can't. Our faith won't work with unforgiveness. That's bottom line. Forgive so your faith will work. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. Amen. All right, and then number six is tied in here. Forgive because you need God to forgive you. How many ever stand in need of God's forgiveness? I'll hold up both hands and one leg. Both legs, if I could do that at the same time, but I can't. Forgive because you need God to forgive you. That's the sixth reason to forgive. Now, and then number seven, forgive so that you will not be tormented. Back in Matthew 18 that we read earlier, Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. He said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned over to the tormentors. Now, God's not the one tormenting you, but if we refuse to forgive people, that puts us on the devil's territory. You know, people, when we hold unforgive, isn't that tormenting on the inside? When you're all bitter and have unforgiveness, doesn't it just torment you? And then it steals your peace away from you. Forgive so that you won't be tormented. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Is everybody still doing okay this morning? Let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Amen. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, how did God in Christ forgive me? He refuses to hold it against me. He doesn't punish me for it. He's not going to expose me. He's not going to tell other people. He doesn't forgive me and just say, okay, I'll tolerate you. He forgives me and he says, come on home. My arms are open. He forgives me and then he turns around and says, now I want to bless you. I want to do you good. Forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you.
Amen.
But look at that verse 31. It says, let all bitterness, and he talks about wrath and anger and all those other things, be put away from you. We forgive because, reason number eight, forgiveness is how bitterness leaves your life. No other way that it can drain out. Forgiveness is the plug that you have to pull out for bitterness to drain out of your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? That's the only way.
Yes.
Forgiveness is how bitterness leaves your life. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, let's keep reading. Therefore, be imitators, chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So reason number nine to forgive is this. Forgiveness is how we imitate God and act like our Heavenly Father. Forgiveness is how we imitate God and act like our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in verse 1, it says that we are to be imitators of God as dearly loved as dear children. The Amplified says, as dearly loved children imitate their father. You know, little bitty kids, you know, they see mom and daddy do something. Well, they want it. That's how they learn. They imitate. Well, we ought to be like that with our Heavenly Father. Oh, that's what daddy's doing. I'm going to do that too. Oh, that pleases God when we have that heart. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. And so forgiveness is how we do that. It's how we imitate God. It's how we act like our Heavenly Father. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5 about that. In verse 44, he said, but I say to you, love your enemies. This is Matthew 5, 44. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust.
Amen.
He says, when we act like this, when we forgive, when we do good to those that have done us wrong, he says, you're acting like sons of your Father in heaven. You're acting like your Heavenly Father. Verse 48, Jesus said, therefore you shall be perfect. This is your Father in heaven is perfect. The word perfect there means mature. We are to be mature like God is mature. How? By forgiving, by loving, by blessing. Come on now, don't quit on me.
Amen.
Amen. One last scripture here. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Acts 7, verse 54. This is powerful. You know, when the New Testament talks to us about forgiving, it talks about much of that in the context of us forgiving one another as believers. Because that's where we got to make it work first. Amen? We got to be walking in love with each other, not fighting and fussing among each other. It's got to start there. But forgiveness is not limited to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at this. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. This is Stephen preaching. And he just had finished his message, a powerful, convicting message. In verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Have you ever gnashed their teeth at you? But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He wasn't fazed by it. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, what does the Bible say that Jesus did after he ascended back into heaven, after he had shed his blood and for our sins and was raised from the dead and went back to heaven? What does it say he did? He was seated. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But Stephen, when he looked into heaven, he saw Jesus standing up. Jesus is sitting down and he's watching his son, Stephen. He's watching his follower, Stephen. And he's hearing him preach, and he's watching the way he lives, and he's watching what he's doing. And he said, that's it. Go, go, go. And he gets so excited, he stands up. Hallelujah. Would to God that we would cause Jesus to stand up. Woo! Glory. He said, look, verse 56, and said, look, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Take note of that. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. These rocks are pelting him, hit him in the head. He's bleeding, he's dying. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. That's forgiveness. That's total forgiveness. You think that caused Jesus to stay standing? I think so. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen forgave the mob that stoned him. Now, again, the Bible notes it here. The witnesses laid their clothes down at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul wasn't among the ones throwing the stones, but he was right there and he was in on it. And Saul heard and saw the way Stephen responded. This Saul that we're talking about, of course, later became Paul the Apostle. Reason number 10 to forgive. Forgive. You never know what impact your act of mercy can have on another person and how it can change their life. We know sometime later that Jesus appeared to Saul as he was on the road to Damascus and he had an incredible encounter there. But I think it started right here. I'm going to say, well, I don't think it did. Well, when we get to heaven, I want you to go with me to Saul, to Paul, and to Stephen. Wouldn't it be wonderful? You get to go and talk to them and ask them, hey, I want to ask you about something. You know, You know that, remember that time? you remember that time when you were standing there and we read about it in the book of Acts, when you were standing there when they stoned Stephen. What was going on in your heart when you saw that? You know, Saul was a Pharisee. I mean, Saul was religious. Saul was, I mean, he was zealous about following God. But he saw something in Stephen that he'd never seen before. He said, this guy has something. I'm trying to follow God, but obviously I don't have it all because he's got something I don't have to be able to do that. To be able to say, Lord Jesus, do not lay this sin to their charge. I think his conversion started right there. Hallelujah. Let's go ask him one day. Like Brother Randy says, come on, go to heaven with me and we'll ask him. Amen. I'm not getting up a load now. Amen. But we'll do that when we get there. Amen. Forgive because you never know. See, so forgiveness is not just within the church. Forgive because you never know what impact that your act of mercy can have on another and how it can change their life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy toward us. Thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us freely, that we can live our lives not like Joseph's brothers, afraid that, well, now he probably really hasn't forgiven us. He's probably still going to do something. Thank you, Lord, we don't have that hanging over our heads. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your word is true and that you've shown abundantly that you love us and that you forgive us and that you care about us. Father, I pray right now if there's anyone here that has never received your abundant forgiveness in their lives, I pray that right now they would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior.